If you want to take out your Bibles and follow along, we'll be looking at Proverbs chapter 2 today. We began a couple of weeks ago looking at the book of Proverbs and what we can learn from this book. It is a book of wisdom, and I don't know anybody that doesn't need a little extra wisdom. Do you, Sister Rosalie? You know somebody?
I need a lot.
Okay. I think all of us do. But in looking at the book of Proverbs, it is the source or a source of wisdom. And it's found in the Old Testament in the book of poetry, in the books of poetry. What we saw last few weeks in chapter 1 is the prologue, verses 1 through 6. It's basically an introduction to the book. In verse 7, we found the theme of the book. And it talks about that the beginning of wisdom is found in the fear of the Lord. Fearing God helps us to come to an understanding of wisdom. Verses 8 and 9, he talked about the value of listening to our parents. That if we'll listen to our parents, that we'll be like garland around their neck and a crown around their head. In verses 10 through 19 in chapter 1, he talked about the danger of evil companionship. We liken that to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, where we're to beware of evil companionship, so that it doesn't corrupt us. And then we looked at the importance of listening to wisdom in the last 13 verses. Now let me stop right here. In looking at those 13 verses, in verses 20 through 33, I went back and found the Greek word for wisdom, which is Sophia, and that's the lesson that I made, listening to Sophia. I don't have a problem with that, but what I did was went back and listened to it. And I made the mistake of saying that the writer said that wisdom was Sophia. He didn't. That was my mistake. Sometimes a preacher gets kind of wound up working on his sermon and trying to preach it, and that's my reason or excuse. So that brings us to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is the benefits of seeking after wisdom. And like I said, I don't know of anybody that doesn't need a little extra wisdom. You know, we just had a great big snowstorm for the South. Ice and snow. And everybody else in the country from the Mason-Dixon line up says, you folks in the South don't know how to drive in that stuff. Well, we need a little wisdom when it comes to driving in that stuff, don't we? And they claim to have it. But when it comes to seeking for wisdom, the benefits of it, there is an admonition in verses 1 through 4 for wisdom, for looking for it and having some diligence. In other words, putting some effort into looking for wisdom. It's like the old adage, you know, the thing you see on people's window, walls and everything, frames, says, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Patience doesn't come at the snap of a finger. It comes with growth. And so does wisdom. It comes from us putting an effort into our research, if you will, looking for wisdom. And in the rest of the chapter, he's going to list the benefits that will come from our diligent search of looking for wisdom. So what are these benefits? Well, we're going to go back to verses 1 through 4 and talk about the qualities of that diligent search, first of all. And we're going to look and see how Solomon explains these qualities of this diligent search. The first thing he says in verse 1 is that it requires a willingness. So he says in Proverbs 2 and verse 1, my son, if you receive my words, if, that's a big two-letter word, it means a lot. If you receive my words, it means that you have to want what he's fixing to offer. If you receive my words, it means that you have to be willing. And it means here, he's talking about the treasure that treasure my commands within you. This treasure, when you talk about a treasure, there are movies that come out on the TV and the big screen about people looking for treasure. What do they do when they find that treasure map? Jesus even talked about it, didn't he? When a man finds a lot, he knows there's a great pearl on there, or a great price, or great hidden treasure, what does he do? Usually they sell everything to fix themselves up to buy or to get that treasure. What are you willing to give up to find the treasure of wisdom? But he also says here that it requires engagement. It requires a willingness, but it also requires engagement. You ever wonder what that means? And I'm not talking about to get married. It requires engagement. In verse 2, he said, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. You have to want to hear. Again, it goes back to that willingness. You have to want to hear what someone is about to tell you. It's like Dave Ramsey says in his radio program. He said, if you want to learn how to be a millionaire, you don't go down under the river bridge and ask somebody that's living in a box how to be a millionaire. You go to somebody that is a millionaire and say, how do I get to your position in life? And they will give you recommendations. You have to want the true wisdom that comes from your search. To be engaged. To have that desire. So the question is, do you desire the wisdom of God's Word? He says here that it comes from a heart that you apply to understanding. In other words, it's an ear that's willing to hear this wisdom, and it's a heart that's willing to understand. I went and had my taxes done yesterday, and the guy that does my taxes is a preacher. So he's helping me figure out the loopholes, if you will, on taxes for preachers. Maybe I shouldn't say loopholes. But he's helping me as a preacher understand how to make the best of my tax situation. And in this whole process, we're talking about learning things. I learned a lot yesterday. I'd already met with him in January of last year. But yesterday, I learned a lot more. And I want to learn a lot more. I want to put my heart into it. I have to be willing to understand and not just put it all on his shoulders. I talked to Jason, I think, last Sunday night about taxes. I said, I've put my mileage down and I've summarized my mileage. And he says, well, you've done more than a lot of folks do. So when I go to the tax man yesterday, he says, yeah, you did more than a lot of folks do. I ask him about their mileage and they go, well, I think I drove X number of miles. If you want to learn anything, you have to apply yourself to it. You have to put your heart into it. There's two or three of you here that ask me if I'm playing golf this coming week. First of all, the answer is no. It's too wet. Temperature-wise, it'd be about right. But it's too wet. But if you want to be a better golfer, how do you become a better golfer? You put your heart into it, don't you? And you study, you practice. Well, let me ask you something. How do you become a better Christian? You have to put your heart into it, don't you? You have to do what the first part of verse 2 says. You have to put your ear into it and incline your ear to it. You have to want to learn how to be a Christian, and then you have to put your heart into it. What I see in America today, and even in Bedford County, I don't think there's enough people putting their heart into being a Christian. And that's a scary thought. But he says in verse 3, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, you got to use the engagement of your mouth. You have to be willing to cry out. You have to be willing to ask questions. You know, I've often heard that the only dumb question is the question that's never asked. But so many times people might be afraid to ask a question because I might think that you're going to think my question is dumb. The only dumb question is one that's never asked. If you have a question about God's wisdom, you need to ask it. You need to ask it of God. You need to ask it of men that are smarter than you or more educated than you, maybe the elders. But you need to be willing to cry out. You need to be willing to ask somebody for help. You go on to verse 4, and he says it requires high estimation. In verse 4, he said, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, again, this goes back to your willingness to look for it. What are you willing to do for treasure? What are you willing to sell to gain more treasure? He says here that you have to seek and search. But you see, that's the problem. A lot of us want this wisdom, but we don't want to work for it. We don't want to take the time out of our busy, hectic life and study. But he says here you have to do it with the same enthusiasm, with the same fervor, with the same energy as looking for that silver and gold as you would any other hidden treasure. So, a diligent search for wisdom requires an all-out effort. What would you do if you found a treasure map? What would you do if you found a treasure map that had Captain Kidd on it, a known pirate? And his treasure says that it's in the bayou in Louisiana. And you know that it's worth, when he hit it, $1 million. And then you fast forward to today, and it's probably triple, quadruple that. I mean, you look at the price of gold. Gold is over $1,000 an ounce right now. And if his treasure was one box of gold coins, that might have been 1 or 2 ounces each, and it's a 100-pound box, what would you sell to go find that treasure? Would you sell your house? Sell your car? Sell your kids? Might. Wouldn't you? But you see my point? If it's something materialistic, oh, I'm willing to sell everything I own to go find this treasure. But you have a treasure that's more valuable than anything of a materialistic nature. That's the wisdom of God's Word. What are you willing to sacrifice for it? When we look at the qualities of a diligent search, let's compare that to how Christians are experiencing that today. First of all, it requires us to hear the Word of God. We go back to verse 2, and he says, incline your ear to wisdom. Incline your ear. You have to be willing to listen to God's Word. And we wonder why the churches are dying today, why the buildings are becoming empty. It's because we have a generation that has not been taught the Word of God. Mamas and daddies quit teaching their children. It's just like at the end of the days of Joshua and those elders. The Bible says that when they died, that there arose a generation that knew not God. Why? I dare say it's because mom and daddy didn't teach them. But that's what God told them to do in passages like Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 6. In those verses, God would tell the parents, teach your children from the time they get up in the morning to the time you put them to bed at night. Sit around the table and study God's Word. When you walk through your day, teach your children God's Word. Let it be as frontlets between your eyes. Write it on the doorpost of your house. We don't do that anymore. Our children don't have time for that anymore. We need to be listening to preachers and teachers carefully, with all readiness. Paul says in Acts 17, verse 11, these were not more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. How do you search the scriptures? Do you search it to see if I've messed up? Well, that's fine. Keep searching. Hold me accountable. Do you search the scriptures just when you feel like it? Do you search the scriptures just like with the emergency thing, break in case of, break the glass in case of emergency? Is that the only time you search for wisdom in God's Word? People, we need to be studying the Word of God daily, like the Bereans. Search it daily to see whether the things were so or not. We need to be studying our Bible. He says in verse 2 here, and apply your heart to understanding. Read God's Word and apply it to your heart. And what this requires is what the Bereans were doing on a daily basis, searching the Scriptures. But it requires that we meditate upon God's Word. Don't just read it and say, well, I read a chapter out of Matthew tonight. Study on it. What did the passage actually say? What does it mean? Again, notice he says here, well, let me back up. Apply your heart to understanding. I don't think he's talking about the blood-pumping heart. I think he's talking about the mental heart, the spiritual heart. Apply that to your understanding, what you get from God's Word. Take time to reflect and ponder on the Word, Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, worthy of praise, think about these things. That's what a Christian ought to be doing. Thinking about things that are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely. Think about all of these things. That's what our life ought to be focused on. Take time to reflect and ponder about what God's Word says. We need to be like the psalmist when he sang about his meditation in Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 97, he says, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, and they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. It requires diligent prayer when looking for wisdom. We go back to Proverbs 2 and verse 3. He said, yes, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. Cry out for discernment, he says. Ask for help. Ask God in prayer. And he says, lift up your voice for understanding. But we've got to be willing to ask in prayer with faith. James 1 and verse 5 says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. We've got to have faith. We must ask in prayer with faith. We must be persistent in our asking also. In Matthew 7, beginning in verse 7, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? You got to keep asking. You can't ask one time and say, well, he didn't answer. I ain't got any more wisdom than I had yesterday or 30 minutes before I asked him. So you got to keep asking God for wisdom. You got to keep praying. But it also requires the same effort that you would have if you were trying to become a millionaire. It requires the same effort. In verse 4, he said, if you seek her as silver, remember, and search for her as hidden treasures, what are you willing to do to obtain material wealth? You ought to have the same energy, the same zeal or diligence in trying to obtain godly wisdom. Colossians 2 and verse 3 tells us that Christ is where all things hidden are. Wisdom, knowledge, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. They're hidden there. And here's a simple test. to see if we are expending the proper effort to seek for wisdom. If you worked as hard for your employer as you do seeking for God's wisdom, let me read that again. If you worked as hard for your employer as you do in seeking for God's wisdom, how long would you have a job? Would you still be getting a paycheck at the end of the week? Finding God's wisdom today requires the same diligence today that it did in Solomon's day. So, is the effort worth it? Absolutely. So now let's look at the remaining part of the chapter and look at the benefits of a diligent search for wisdom. Solomon here says that knowledge of God and his protection are what we're talking about. We see this, that he says, in this you will understand the fear of the Lord, the fear of God. The fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of knowledge, he says. We find that in verse 5. That's what he said is the theme of the book in chapter 1 and verse 7, remember? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And he says, and you will find him there. Proverbs 2, verses 5 through 7. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. The knowledge of God is a storehouse of wisdom and understanding that he's willing to give to those who are living a righteous life. But also Solomon tells us that you will have God's providential protection. God is a shield to those who walk uprightly, he says in verse 7. And he says that he will guard the paths of justice, which the righteous are going to take. That's what he says in verse 8. But he also says this in Proverbs 23 and verse 3. Proverbs 23. He restores my soul. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is with us. We read that, you know, a lot of us probably had to memorize the 23rd Psalm in Sunday school. I dare say some of us can actually go back and remember all of it. But if you go back and read it and study the 23rd Psalm, you'll see how much God is actually protecting and watching over his children. And in verse 3 there, he restores my soul and he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's what Solomon tells us here in Proverbs 2. He guards the paths of the righteous. And he preserves the way of the saints. Verse 8. And what a blessing to go through life with God by our side. What a blessing. But also another benefit of this diligent search for wisdom is having moral discernment for how we live. You will have great understanding if you search diligently for this wisdom of God. In verse 9, he says, then you will understand righteousness and justice. You'll understand. If you look for God and you study his wisdom and his word, then it's going to help you make those moral decisions a whole lot easier. Should I go to the dance? Should I let my kids go to the dance? Well, a lot of mamas and daddies say, well, I want my kids to have everything that they want in life. Let me tell you something. When I was younger, I pressured my mom and daddy into letting me go to one of the dances at school. I'd shoot somebody if they tried to take my daughters to a school dance. Because they have these things called black lights. And when the girls get out there, the black light enhances their underwear, their bras. And it looks like she's walking around with nothing but a bra on. I don't want my daughters going to that. So if my kids ever come to me and said, I'm going to school dance, no. But Daddy, no. But Daddy, all my friends, no. You're not going. But you, and you say, well, now, Jeff, that's because of your experience. Well, it's because of my experience, and it's because of my studying God's Word. Lasciviousness comes into play. And I'm not going to allow her to put herself in a position to cause a young boy to lust after her. I know a man that had daughters, and he would let them dress in skimpy outfits, and somebody went to him and said, you need to be careful how you let your daughters dress. Said somebody might look at them and lust after them. And he goes, well, I don't look at them that way. Well, of course you don't, but what about that fella that's got that dirty mind? We need to look to God's Word to help us make moral decisions in life. I wanted my kids to have everything in life that I could possibly afford to them. But you have to use moral discernment in raising our kids. You have to use discretion. He talks about here about equity and every good path in verse 9. And David prayed about this in Psalm 143. But also in this moral discernment, you'll have great understanding, but you will have great discretion. Once wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to you, that's what he says in verse 10. That when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge then becomes pleasant to your soul. But he also said that they will preserve you in verse 11. And understanding will keep you. Again, what a blessing it is to go through life with God's wisdom at our disposal. But then another benefit of this is deliverance from evil men. Boy, don't we need that now in the society that we live in. Everything seems to be evil. The world is upside down. Men's calling evil good and good evil. So we need this discernment now in our lives. It helps to deliver us from the evil men. In verse 12, he talks about to deliver us from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. We need that wisdom. We need to be able to steer clear of that person. That's what the psalmist talks about in Psalm 1. The progression of sin. We begin by having that great discretion to be able to discern what's bad. And Psalm 1 talks about walking away and avoiding sin. But the progression of sin is that we begin to lose that discernment and we stand close to the sin. Close to the evil man. And then we lose discernment completely and we sit down in the middle of sin and we're part of it. That's what the psalmist talks about in Psalm 1. And yet Solomon says here that wisdom helps to deliver you from the evil, from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. He says in verse 13 that this wisdom will help prevent you from leaving the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Again, reference Psalm 1 there, and it talks about the same principle here. That when you have the wisdom of God, it's going to help you avoid these things and to walk upright. In verse 14, he said that these people rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of wicked. And in verse 15, he says, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Wisdom can deliver us from evil and take the evil ways away from evil men. But the proverb writer goes on in this benefit part here, and he talks about deliverance from the immoral woman. In verse 16, he begins by talking about to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. He goes on to call her an adulteress. Verse 17, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. She's left her love. She's left her husband, and she's after you as a young man now. And he says in verses 18 and 19, for her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her, nor do they regain the paths of life. Wisdom can deliver us from the immoral woman and her destructive ways. And then there's another benefit of diligently seeking wisdom, and that's that it enables us to live righteous. In verse 20, he says, so that you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness. To be upright, to dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it, he says in verse 21. And then in verse 22, he says, but the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. You see, wisdom empowers us. God's wisdom empowers us to live a life that is more blessed, if not longer, while we live on this earth. Now let me ask you, aren't these benefits worth every effort that you should want to be putting into finding them? I say yes. To know God and enjoy His providential care, to know that He takes care of you even today, to be able to make the right choices in life, to be delivered from the shenanigans of these evil men in a society that we live in today, to be delivered from that old immoral woman, I say yes, they're worth every effort. To be able to walk in goodness, yes. But also, what is the effort required to obtain God's wisdom? What does God require of you to gain this wisdom? Well, first of all, you have to hear God's word. You have to be willing to listen to what He says. You have to meditate on what He tells you through His word. And you have to ask in faith for wisdom. And then you have to highly value the worth of what you now have. Seek her as silver or hidden treasure, Solomon would say. You know, with all this effort that we should be willing to put forth in finding wisdom, we'll not only find wisdom for her daily, but practical living, and we'll also find Jesus Christ along the way. Remember, Paul says in Colossians 2 and verse 2, I want their hearts to be encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. Christ indeed is the greatest benefit of diligently seeking after wisdom from God's Word. It may be that you're here this morning and you haven't been seeking after the wisdom of God's Word. This is an opportunity for you to put Christ on in baptism. You know, somebody might say, well, I've not heard enough lessons. How many lessons do you need? How many sermons do you need? In the first century, they heard one, like on the day of Pentecost. One sermon, and 3,000 souls responded. They were added to the church. One sermon. But you see, the difference is, they were willing to accept what was being taught. Today, we have to be willing to accept what's being taught and come to Christ and allow Christ and His wisdom, His word, to open our hearts, to open our minds. By the way, that's kind of the title of the bulletin this morning, if I'm not mistaken. An open heart and an honest mind, or an open mind and an honest heart. That's what we need. But it may be that you're here and you've put Christ on in baptism, and you've stopped searching diligently for the wisdom of God. This is an opportunity for you as well. So whether you're here in attendance this morning or listening on the live stream, if you need assistance in putting Christ on in baptism or confessing wrongdoing in your life, then this is an opportunity. If you're here, we ask you to make your way to the front during the invitation song. If you're listening on the live stream, then contact one of the elders or myself, and we'll assist you. So if you